This is gotcha journalism, but you know what? They're not going to gotch me.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And man, before I get to all the local stuff, audience, you ready to go? Got another hour left in
Let's
you.
Let's go, Brandon!
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 Oh, if you'd like free tickets to be part of the Dory Monson Show audience, just write Dory Monson Show, Avenue of the Americas, New York, New York. What we got here? How about Joe Biden? This is, you know, once again, this is just a stark and stunning reminder of just how confused the president of the United States is. So he was at an event out in the Rose Garden, and there was a band playing, and the band was playing loud. And Joe is just kind of walking around confused. He's just kind of looking off. And then he sees a microphone. And he starts way off mic. And then he just starts talking. And he comes up to the microphone and starts talking while the band is playing loud. And you have to listen very carefully. And Sean, make sure this is potted up just a skosh more than usual. But Jill Biden, his wife, tries to get his attention because Joe is just talking at this microphone that isn't even on while the band is playing loud. And she says, she's kind of waving her arm to Joe. And then she goes, "Look at me." And then she puts out her arm to try to get his attention. And then she waves him down. Who talks to the president of the United States like that's how you talk to a three-year-old that you can't make a connection with? Look at me. Come on, look me in the eyes here. Listen very carefully. You can hear Jill Biden. It's hard to hear, but this is a very confused president of the United States.
I tell you what, I would like to learn it. You see that?
Right there, he says, "I would like to learn it." And you hear Jill Biden say, "Look at me." You hear it real quickly, but she says, "Look at me," because she's has to pull him off.
I tell you what, I would like to learn it. You see that? Don't come again.
And then with Jill waving her hand, saying, "It's no, it's not time." And then he just kind of ambles off away from the podium. It's very strange. It's we've had so many telltale signs of what's going on there. But at a time where everything remains so disastrous that, you know, we do have a nation that is in some real serious trouble right now. We still have a crisis at the southern border with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people streaming into our country illegally. And they're flying them to, as of yesterday, they were flying them to New York and into Florida to try to disperse the problem. You still have the remnants of Afghanistan, still have hundreds of Americans trapped behind enemy lines in Afghanistan. You have what was one of the greatest foreign policy disasters in our nation's history. We have more than 5% inflation, not counting gas and food. And the food is going to keep going up higher and higher and higher. That is also getting to disastrous numbers. We have a supply chain interruption, and the Department of Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, was on a paternity leave for the 2 months. Well, that descended into a even worse situation. So on and on it goes. Nothing is going well in America right now, and the polls are showing it to an extent and with a speed that really has never been seen before, how fast the poll numbers are falling for Joe Biden And it is, you know, just reflecting how absolutely disastrous things are. So let me give you some of these poll numbers that are coming in to us today. This is the 538. Now, this tends to be the most favorable for Joe Biden because this is the poll of polls. So it's an average of many, many polls. You can't just cherry pick a particularly bad one. Nor can the Biden defenders cherry pick a particularly good one. So this is an amalgamation of many polls. And for the first time in his presidency, Joe Biden's disapproval has gone above 50%. And his approval rating hits an all-time low, according to Real Clear Politics, of 43%. But that's just one of the polls that is out today. The Grinnell College poll. They asked, do you approve or disapprove of the way Joe Biden is handling the following? His job as president, 37% approve, 50 disapprove. And I don't get the not sure, 12%. What more do you need? I don't understand the 37% who approve either. Do you approve what he's done with the COVID-19? That's the only one where he's not underwater. Approve is up 46-44. The economy, disapprove leads 53-36. And immigration, the southern border, disapprove leads by more than a 2-to-1 margin now. 58% disapprove, 27% approve of what he's doing. Then a brand new Quinnipiac poll. Independents are the ones who determine elections, because the Democrats are usually going to vote for the Democrat and the Republicans usually going to vote for the Republicans. It is the independents who can make and break elections. 2 weeks ago, Biden's rating with independents had slipped from 38% to 32%. And now, per today's update, it's just cratered. Now only 28% of independents in America approve of President Joe Biden. And as who wrote this? Hot Air. It's Hot Air that wrote it. It said today's data is a gruesome, almost unfathomable number for a president whose average approval rating was 50% just 2 months ago. So now he's down to 28% among independents. So that is just a quick little glimpse of what's going on nationally. And like I say, we don't talk about a lot of national news, but this affects our lives because the inflation's killing us in this country. And who it attacks the most are the poor, the working class, the middle class. If inflation wipes out, you know, 5 or 10% of their earnings, now all of a sudden you cannot pay your week-to-week bills. And that is indeed a disaster when that happens. And then I mentioned this yesterday. Albertsons has announced, they told at their annual meeting that they are expecting a dramatic rise in food prices. And every time I go to the store, I am shocked at how fast inflation has hit food. And as I said, that is not reflected in the inflation numbers that are reported every single day or every week, whenever the numbers come out. I guess it's more monthly. But the food prices, and if you are on a tight budget, as so many people are these days, this is a reflection of federal policy. And so I don't know where the bottom is. I would hope that we are at least near that bottom, because I don't know how much more this nation can take of inflation, rising prices, illegal aliens streaming across the border, the morale of what happened in Afghanistan, and the fact that terrorists, 52 known terrorists, have been detained at the border. Heaven only knows how many have not been caught because of how porous our borders are. And so that is your update nationally, and I wish that, oh, and here's the Albertson story. They said food inflation is manageable for now, but the supply chain woes are not as bad as at the beginning of COVID, but they are foreseeing some big rise in prices in the very near future. So this is my heart breaks. And I've told you, you know, my reference point. We had to cut so many corners when I was a kid. And some of them just stick with you. Like I remember my mom would, she couldn't afford fresh milk. So she'd get that Carnation instant milk and then dilute it with water. Oh, it was awful. It was just awful. There are just some memories like that that stick with you forever. And, you know, more and more families are being forced into that right now. So these are very challenging times, to say the least. All right, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to the local stuff and get into the big lead.
The big lead, top trending.
We spoke on the show yesterday with a Washington State Patrol trooper who told Jay Inslee to kiss his bleep as he resigned from the job. Well, we have another one that has gone viral, a different Washington State Patrol trooper. And as he signs off for the final time, it turns out that the dispatcher on this call is his wife.
Due to my personal choice to take a moral stand against for medical freedom and personal choice, I will be signing out of service for the last time today. After nearly 17 years of serving the citizens of the state of Washington, it has been my honor and privilege to work alongside all of you. I want to take a moment to thank those that have helped me be successful, to be safe, and to go home every day. At the end of each shift, to hear the ripping of that Velcro is a relief to my wife and kids. I want to admonish each of you, knowing that despite what the press releases and the news conferences are saying to downplay this role, we all know in this district on the 19th there will be 51 of the 75 troopers available and only 7 of the 11 sergeants. So please, please, please take care of each other. So please take care of each other. Be safe and make sure you all go home at the end of each day. Again, thank you to each and every one of you that have stood alongside me and that we have helped each other out. But as for me, I am out of service and on to new adventures.
On behalf of your D5 coworkers, I want to say you've been a pleasure to work with for the last almost 17 years. You've accomplished great things here and built amazing friendships along the way. You've led your crew in DUI arrests year after year, been an FTO, a DRE, and peer support member, and most recently made sergeant last year. This agency is losing an outstanding, hardworking, determined, and caring individual. I'm honored to have been your dispatcher, but mostly proud to be your wife. Our future is bright. Thank you so much for your service, 110.
That's very sweet. The words of a wife, been most proud to be your wife. So the fear, of course, is that crime is going to go up dramatically in the state. Seattle police is now down hundreds of officers, including the ones that they lost earlier in this year. You have King County Sheriffs has lost a bunch, although those numbers are unofficial. But the numbers are much greater than what the politicians have been officially reporting, because there are an awful lot of men and women who applied for an exemption, and there's a legal process until they are denied any accommodations. And then once they're denied, then they're officially off the force or out of the department. And so the numbers are bad. They're stark. And this is at a time where Seattle has record number of crime, and violent crime, murders. We lead the country in property crimes. The official stats don't say that, but since most property crimes go unpunished, a lot of them go unreported. People just go to the insurance company, got to get a new car window, car was smashed again. That's the one that doesn't get reported. And as I said, it's a region-wide problem. There was a murder in Puyallup yesterday. A man in his 20s was found dead in a backyard in Mukilteo at 5:30 yesterday afternoon. A 21-year-old woman was shot in the leg on Aurora last night. There's a report, as we get rid of school resource officers, of a sexual assault that's being investigated in a Snohomish High School bathroom. And at a time when we need good guys, when there's so many bad things happening, the governor, Dow Constein, and Jenny Durkin, they are cutting and getting rid of as many of them as possible. Now, on Friday night, you know, I talk every once in a while. Mauro Galmarve, he owns the restaurant Assaggio in downtown. It's a wonderful Italian place, and he's a great man. I love Mauro. And I talked to him a couple of weeks ago about just how bad the crime is. There had been another shooting just a block from his restaurant. They used to do lunch every day at Assaggio. Now they're down to just dinner time, 5 to 9. And it's tough to make a go with expensive downtown real estate if you can only serve 4 hours a day. But that's what they're down to there. And some friends of ours heard Mauro on my show, and they said, hey, we're going to support Mauro. So the four of us went down to Mauro's on Friday night because I want to support these great businesses and these people who are in so much personal pain after they've put their heart and soul into decades of building a business and creating jobs and being the tax funders.
I mean, I'm hearing all these other restaurateurs going, yeah, Bellevue is doing so great, and, you know, yeah, Kirkland is so busy. Yes, Redmond is busy. West Seattle is busy. Downtown, we can't even do it. I mean, from 11 shift I used to have, right, was a 5 lunch and a 6 dinner. I only was closed Sunday. I'm only open right now 5 days, Dory. It's a Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9. From 5 to 9, and after 8, nobody can even walk downtown. And people just come by.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we do really do business in 3 hours. I mean, it is, as I said, it's not about COVID. I mean, COVID people wearing the mask, doing this one, they're doing the other one. But downtown has been the biggest issue. I mean, I don't know. I mean, after 30 years, next year would be Assaggio 30 years.
Yep.
And I'm going, I never, ever, ever would experience. After Tom Douglas closed the Dahlia, and I'm thinking, okay, he must be super smart because there is no people, they don't want to have a fancy dinner.
Right.
But Tom will get a little bit, you know, casual place. And I'm glad he reopened the serious part. At least you will see a little bit more foot traffic.
Sure.
But it's just been a brutal.
Refresh my memory, because I talked to you after Jenny Durkin came and visited. And what did she tell you back then? What did she say about how she was going to clean things up?
Yeah, she said, you know, Mauro, I heard your interview, and I heard how frustrated you are. I'm here personally. That was the day after your interview.
Yeah.
I'm here personally to guarantee you we will do anything we support. And I said, okay, I have a people right there in my restaurant. I had the gentleman, as you know, was all over news, Joey Rodolfo, the owner of the Bookie store downtown. He moved away to Tucson, as you know. And then, you know, other people that was over there, the mayor said, Mauro, would you be, if I do a task force, would you be in the police on it? I said, I'll be honored if you do some kind of that. I go, my office is going to call you. Tony, I called personally 3 times the office, and I got nothing back. And I got nothing back. And
really?
I'm going, okay, I swear to you, I got no answer back. And I'm going, okay, well, this is the, she really promised, maybe she's so busy, she doesn't think, but this is the downtown. Downtown, we're having a problem. Do you walk lately downtown? I look my back when I walk downtown too.
Oh, you have to.
I live downtown also. So
I know you
kind
do.
Of, it's kind of, I don't know, Doria. I really.
You just hear the pain, Mauro at Assaggio. But, oh, man, when you're in his restaurant, you are family, man. We had such a good time Friday night supporting a great local business. So I'm going to take quick time out here because I want to continue with this. Jenny Durkin came down and said, we are going to fix things, and then didn't lift a finger to fix it after that. You're going to hear from another downtown business owner who's scared of what's happened. And what's the solution? Well, you make sure you vote against every single incumbent on the Seattle City Council in this upcoming election. Got to get rid of Lorena Gonzalez and Teresa Mosqueda. Got to get rid of them. It's the only way things are going to change. You got to get Ann Davison, a Seattle City attorney. You have to have the less radical Bruce Harreld as mayor. Things have to change around here. All right. We want to be your agent of change. And my agent fee, only 4%. Okay, we'll check the news and then continue here on the Dory Monson Show. Have a few more minutes together today. Let's make the most of it. What do you say, friend? So as we were talking about right before the break, it's critically important, this election that's coming up, because at some point Seattle will have swung as far to the left as possible, and then the pendulum needs to start swinging back. And I mentioned earlier today, there's a new poll, some Progressive Institute. They found that Bruce Harreld has a 16-point lead over Lorena Gonzalez for mayor. I'm glad to see that, just because Lorena Gonzalez would be a disaster. Bruce Harreld, very disappointing guy, though. He does not like talking with people who will challenge him. He is not comfortable being challenged at all. But I don't care. Lorena Gonzalez would be even more disastrous. Seattle City Attorney, this is good news. Ann Davison, who wouldn't legalize crime. So weird. Nicole Thomas Kennedy wants to legalize crime. I don't know if that's any less weird than, you know, Satterberg legalizing all drugs, heroin, meth. Then what happens? Oh, people start using drugs more. But Ann Davison's up by 19 points. Teresa Mosqueda's up 8 points against Kenneth Wilson. Got to get Kenneth Wilson on top there. And then this could be an upset. Sarah Nelson over incumbent Nikita Oliver, who is a self-declared Marxist. So that would be good news. So the only thing people have to do is they have to flip that Teresa Mosqueda. Come on, let's get on. Because as you heard right before the news, downtown businesses are getting crushed. I felt bad for this guy. He was on Fox 13. Maher Youssef, he owns Pluto's Cafe downtown, and he said it's just too dangerous now.
I think a lot of business is gonna close down, and I have to be, you know, protecting myself by myself because I don't feel safe. I can't sleep well. Every night I wake up and it's like, okay, I'm gonna go check my store 2-3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, because I don't know what's gonna happen. People, they don't care. They just break into your store to take even small things. If you don't have anything, just take whatever.
Why?
Because there's no police presence in the street.
No police presence in the streets. So the criminals now own the streets. But man, Philadelphia is another city where the cops have been under attack and where they've been doing some depolicing. They used to have cops riding trains. Not so much anymore. This is one of the most amazing stories that I've heard in a long time. Because I like to believe that if I saw a woman getting attacked, that I would do everything I could do to intervene. Listen to what happened. I'm going to play a big chunk of this news report because you have to hear from not only the people on the train, but the reporter too. This was in Philadelphia.
There were people witnessing the act with phones in their hands.
SEPTA's chief of police with a disturbing account of what happened as a woman was raped by a stranger on board an L train in Upper Darby last Wednesday night. Investigators say other riders did not help.
People were holding their phone up in the direction of this woman being attacked.
Okay, how have we gotten to this point where you see a woman getting raped? There are a bunch of other people on the train, and I don't care who the guy is or how big he is, if everybody on that train rallies and pins him down, yeah, you might get some bruises. You might get clocked in the melee. But how do you let a woman get raped? And then the even more amazing, they all pull out their phones. Oh, I'm gonna get video of this rape. There's a call button on the train to alert the police and alert the conductor that something horrible's happening. Nobody hit the police call button. Nobody called 911. They just recorded video.
He also says no one called Philadelphia's 911 and that it was a SEPTA employee who alerted police something wasn't right.
When the doors opened, an officer entered and saw what he believed was a criminal act occurring, ripped that man off of her.
35-year-old Fiston Nagoy has been charged with rape. Now SEPTA leaders are urging all riders not to hesitate to report suspicious activity, either by calling 911 or pressing the emergency button inside all trains.
I've seen people fight when we would get off the train, and I just walked away.
While SEPTA says they've increased security, they're hoping more riders will also speak up in the name of safety.
Be angry, be disgusted, be resolute about making the system safe by contacting us.
People recorded video instead of running in to help a rape victim. What has happened? How has this happened? I'm not even asking it rhetorically. What do you think? How in the world has this happened that we've become this wimpified as a society? Show me a text in our final minutes today. 888-973 Cairo, 888-973-5476. And when we come back, we will count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio. That's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day. What a show. What a day. We're not done yet. Before I get to the awesome audio, there is some more news I want to get to because it does affect so many of you who have younger children, because the push seems to be all out now for vaccinating 5 to 11-year-olds. They have almost zero risk of getting sick if they get COVID, but the shots must be administered. Moderna has money to make. So the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, said, oh, yeah, and by the way, after you get your kid vaccinated, they'll still have to wear masks at school.
You know, after we have authorization from FDA and recommendations from CDC, we will be working to scale up pediatric vaccination. That said, it will take some time. And as I just noted, as we head into these winter months, we know we cannot be complacent. We also know that from previous data that schools that have had masks in place were 3.5 times less likely to have school outbreaks requiring school closure. So right now we are going to continue to recommend masks in all schools for all people in those schools. And we will look forward to scaling up pediatric vaccination during this period of time.
And in our state, Chris Rakedahl, the superintendent of public instruction, he tells Fox 13 that they're excited to get your child vaccinated.
Well, it's great news. We've been anticipating it for a while. It's nice to see it coming together here. In our state, 5 to 11-year-olds are going to get this option soon. Between probably 5 and 600,000 students will be eligible very, very soon.
And they say it's more difficult logistically to get the kids shots because mom or dad has to drive them. He says it won't be mandated this year, but how many times have we heard that? Yeah, I have a montage of several minutes of Jay Inslee and Joe Biden and Dr. What's-His-Name Fauci all say, oh, no, we'll never mandate a vaccine.
For this next year, at least, we don't anticipate a vaccine mandate for school-aged children. There's a long process that it goes through. There's a State Board of Health that has a big role in that. That process is underway. They're looking at the evidence. But remember, this is not even authorized yet, and it's going to be authorized under emergency use. And so until it gets full authorization.
Emergency use. Of course, we're still in an emergency, according to Jay Inslee. It's not an emergency for 5 to 11-year-olds. It never has been. It never will be. But they are probably going to declare an emergency. And when they say it's not mandated yet, it's going to be mandated again. Follow the money. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention one thing in the last segment, that rape on the train in Philadelphia. The accused rapist, he's in this country illegally. He has many prior arrests and convictions, including for a sexual assault. He should have been deported for that sexual assault years ago. And because he wasn't, a woman was raped by him, allegedly, last week. When we don't follow our own laws, really bad things can happen. Okay, Awesome Audio. Pete Buttigieg. He says that one of the things to control inflation is to add, you know, this $3 trillion in spending for this reason.
Well, it's certainly the case that we are closely watching prices. I also think it's important to point out, and Moody's has talked about this, that the president's Build Back Better agenda as a whole will ease some of that inflationary pressure. One of the reasons why we sometimes struggle to keep up with demand when demand is good is that you got a lot of forces that keep Americans out of the workforce, not least the struggle to get good childcare, or the struggle to get good affordable childcare, I should say. So when you talk about some of the pro-family policies in the Build Back Better agenda, those stand to actually ease inflationary pressure.
So taxing people more to pay for other people's childcare is going to ease. These guys don't know anything about economics. None of them know anything about economics. They don't know anything about climate change either. Good morning, America. There is a turkey shortage.
According to food analyst editor Phil Limpert, this Turkey Day, you may be paying more. And a variety of issues from climate change to the pandemic may be partly to blame.
We have a major shortage of truck drivers. So being able to get the birds to the supermarkets are going to be a problem.
She had to toss in climate change. Climate change has nothing to do with a turkey shortage. There has been no meaningful climate change from a year ago when turkeys were plentiful. They have truck driver shortages and they have turkey plucker shortages. And then you have Senator John Kennedy, who's talking about how Joe Biden and Democrats in Congress, they want to be able to monitor any bank account you have that has more than $600 in it, which is just a frightening level of government snooping on our lives.
Whether it's $600 or $10,000, under this proposal, the intimate financial details of everyone in this room, of at a minimum of every American who has a job, will be turned over on a daily basis to the IRS. What could possibly go wrong? Republicans aren't perfect, but this stuff is crazy. President Xi would be proud. Now, Secretary Yellen, who's one of the leading proponents of this squid-brained idea, says we need to do it to catch rich tax cheats. She knows better than that. Why throw the net so wide? This proposal, like a lot of proposals in my Democratic friend's bill, is not about public policy, and it's not about taxes. It's about control. There are too many people in charge right now in Washington, D.C., who just don't trust Americans to know what's best for themselves. They just don't trust Americans to make decisions for themselves. Their attitude seems to be, do what you're told. Just do what you're told. And if you do that, we might let you eat meat occasionally. This is another step in that direction. And I hope my Democratic friends rethink this idea.
That's all I'm saying. Control our own lives. Don't let government control us. We might actually arrive at the same conclusions as government once in a while do. All right, I got to get out of here. The Tom Curley Show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hey.
Well, I've been to one World Fair, a picnic, and a rodeo, and that's the stupidest thing I ever heard come over a set of earphones.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.